This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self.
Hello, sisters, and welcome to the Sistership Circle podcast. I'm Tanya Lynn, and I am really excited to have this conversation with Dr. Venice, who is the Black Women Millionaire Mentor. And I just want to tell the story of how I met this amazing woman, and now I'm so excited to have her to speak to you. We're in a group, a Facebook group, and I had asked a question about my, it was actually last year, I was making an offer for my event, and I didn't want to do it the same old way. And so I was posting, and then she commented, and I was like, who is this lady? So I'm looking her up, and I started following her, and just really, really resonate with the level of vulnerability, authenticity, and just sheer power that Dr. Venice has. So I asked her if she wanted to be on the show and to come talk and share her insights, to share her awareness, and here she is. And you know why she said that she come on? Because she loves the word sister. No,
it's true. We love sisterhood.
It's
so necessary. Look, I can't do it without my sisters. It's real. It is real.
Isn't that the truth? It is the truth. So I'd love to start there, you know, and then we can kind of circle back and talk a little bit about your story. But what's the number one time when sisterhood really showed up and supported you in your life?
Number one is too big, but I could tell you what the one that pops in my mind and made the difference for my business.
Oh, okay.
No, because this was a profound moment, and it changed me. It's all entrepreneurs. We start off and we mess up. At least I did. And I was putting money in the wrong places, things are way above my head, things I couldn't implement. And I had this hit. I had received this download that I should market specifically to Black women. And I got scared because I was thinking, why would they buy anything from me? Okay, I really didn't think they would buy from me. And because I believed that, I went and talked to some men millionaires who said, no, they will never buy from you. So they just reaffirmed my own fear, right? And so I sat on it for a year. I didn't move for a whole year, and I refused to say million. I would only say six figure. And I was doing purpose-driven entrepreneurs. I wouldn't call them by their name. Okay. And then one Black woman who was a sister friend who had been friends with me for years, and she got really, really real with me. And this straight up street, we both have a very colorful background. And, she said to me, real plain, who do you think's been carrying all along? And it messed me up because I had to go look at the numbers. And if I had 10 clients who were buying high ticket, 9.6 of those clients were Black women who were educated and had a side hustle. If she hadn't said that to me, I would still be trying to market to everybody. I would still be generic and trying to fit into what I think the market wants instead of what I feel led to do. And because of her love, I changed my website. I focused specifically on my niche. And I started calling sisters by their name. And that within less than 3 years, I hit my first million.
Wow.
Because a sister loved me enough to tell me the truth. And I think that's what sisterhood is. I think that if you're someone's sister, and to be clear, sister is not race-based, it's spirit-based. You know, as long as you resonate with somebody else's heart, that's a sister in the human cosmos, right? And so I have a lot of sisters from other misters who are not of African ancestries. And I have a lot of sisters who are, you know? And what I've realized is my sisters feed me. Whenever I feel scared or like I can't do this, or what, I must be crazy to think the thoughts I'm thinking, who's gonna buy that? I can take it to my sisters in success. And they remind me of who I am. They remind me that I'm not this flesh and bone and body, that I am a spiritual being having a human experience. And that the spirit wouldn't give me anything that wasn't already manifested and I am God. So fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Just go for it anyway. But it's my sisters. My sisters feed me. So that's why I was smitten by your work, because you lead with sister. You lead with sister. I lead with money. You lead with sister, you know? And I was moved by that, and that you would include me in your sisterhood is a grace that I do not take lightly. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that everything that you just spoke into is why we do what we do, is to actually have women have the experience of real and authentic sisterhood in their life, and to heal what's not that, and to step into circling with other women. So yes. I'm so glad we started with that. And also something I want to just point out just a tiny bit of what you said of how all the men were reflecting back to you your own belief.
Yes.
And so many times we were like, see, well, that person said that, right? And they're just reaffirming what we're believing in ourselves. And so sometimes we cannot listen to those who are supposedly maybe authority.
I'll take it further. I wouldn't sort them out. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like they didn't come find me. I'm like, ooh, who can I ask? And all the people. And I did go to what I thought was authority. I went to older Black men who were really established. I went to marketing people who really know marketing, men. I went to men who I had a lot of respect for, and I do. But what I understand about energy, energetically, I was already convinced they wouldn't buy from me. So I picked the people who would reaffirm what I already believed. They didn't have to find me. I went and found them because I was being right about how I was wrong.
Yeah.
That there's no way someone's going to pay that kind of money for working with me for my advice. Are you kidding me? You know, so I just want to make sure we point out that it wasn't like they just fell out the sky. I literally went and asked specific. Notice I didn't ask any women. You see what I'm saying? Notice I didn't. And I also asked Black men. And there's a historical wound around villainizing each other. That's part of my historical wound. Or there's a whole world around masculinity that is part of a history of hurts that positions us in a lot of ways as either him or her, me or them. You see what I'm saying? So I'm very clear I did that. You see what I'm saying? I'm very clear I was out to prove me wrong. And I think as sisters, we need to have other sisters who love us enough to tell us when we are sabotaging. You see what I'm saying? And that's the real, like, I was so scared. And I think you know this, Tanya, is like a lot of times we've been hurt by women.
Yep.
And, you know, it just pointed to a wound around healing a hurt that was blocking my money. And a lot of times we don't realize that our money is already there, but because we're wounded, we actually cut off markets. Not people, markets. And if you want to really manifest your millions, you have to heal your heart. And that's what I teach my tribe. It's not about the money, it's about the healing. Healing first, money second. And until you take on healing, you won't even see the money you're leaving on the table. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, and I see that all over the place in ours as well, our tribe as well. So let's go back a little bit. You said you had a colorful background.
That was gentle. By the time I was 16, I was living on the streets of Baltimore, eating out of trash cans and sleeping in piss and beer. My ninth grade math teacher was a woman, a Black woman, who saved my life. Things weren't okay at home, so I never went back. And it was because of Nana, because of what I call her tangible love, her tangible support, not the raw, raw, you can do it. I need help. I didn't even need support or empowerment. I need help. And there's a difference. There's a time when you have your hand out, but there's another time we have your hand up. And because of her tangible love, I eventually graduated from Stanford University with a second master's degree and a PhD. I have 4 degrees. I was able to take all the survival that kept me alive on the streets and got me through my education and turn it into a system that fast tracked me to the $1 million mark in under 3 years. My company, Defy Impossible, has grown swell over 5 million in less than 6 years. And my clients have grossed over, based on their testimonials, over 8 million in the last 7 years. I'm very, very, very good at cash money. Very, very, very good at cash money. And my methodology is rooted in my pain. So everybody has a $1 million moneymaker. It's not located in our credentials. It's not located in our brain. It's located in our pain, where life broke our hearts. And it's the last place you want to look, you know, but that's where it is. And so I've created a whole universe around pimping your pain for profit. You know, dollarizing your disasters, cashing in on your courage, so that you don't ever have to be a slave to other people's agendas, to the economy, to the political climate. You can have your own if you're willing to heal. And the biggest challenge is not the money part. It's easier to make your first million, your first 100,000. And it's easier to make $500,000 than it is to make $50,000 in certain circumstances. The main thing you have to learn how to do is bring in money from what you know instead of what you do. And that is the challenge. A lot of us, if you're anything like me, you don't believe that people will pay you for your knowledge, your lived experience. We think it's a credential, or we think it's a product. I don't have any products, y'all. I ain't got no product. I ain't got no student. I ain't got no business loan. I ain't got no angel investor. I don't have none of that. That's not my business. You know, that's not my model. My model is, you are worth so much more than you have ever been taught to believe. Ever. Ever. And a lot of us have historical wounds, historical traumas that impact our money as women. I have friends who are Jewish. They have a historical wound around money. I have friends who are Asian. They have a historical wound around how it shows up in their ability to step out around their money. I have women who are Latina and Indian. It's like we have historical wounds that impact our willingness to receive and to implement. And we think it's us. And it's not, it's a historical wound. But no one tells us that. So we end up trying to fix us when there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with you, boo. There's not even close. You're just working on the wrong shit. You're working on marketing and logos and social media. You're not working on the one thing that matters. It's your sense of self. And that's where the healing happens. So I spend my life, my entire life is committed to healing the heart of humanity. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the high priestess of the human heart. And I know that when your heart is healed, you create a sufficient condition for spirit to rush to this place, call to you, and literally gift you all that is your divine birthright. And I know it sounds woo-woo, but I'm a woo-woo girl. I'm all about the woo, but it works. And if you think about how much effort you have put into your business or your career, does that effort show up in your bank account? It's a fair question. And if it doesn't, take the case you're working on the wrong thing. It's a different place to look from, but I've learned that money is energy. It's not the tender we touch. It used to be cows, it used to be cowie shells, it used to be heifers, it used to be horses, it used to be gold coins, it used to be railroads, it used to be manure, it used to be rice, it used to be tobacco. Now it's, you know, dashes and zeros on the screen. Money is not the tender you touch, it's an energetic exchange. And if you don't know that, you're going to keep trying to do something to get somewhere, to be somebody. And you will be tired. And you'll feel broke down, and you'll be broke because you're working on the wrong thing, especially in an age where information is more valuable than your time. Mm-hmm. So my tribe, my clients, the people for whom I'm the answer to their prayers, I'm very, very committed that you monetize that which makes you special. Mm. And I say that's what makes you special is the thing that tried to kill you. Mm. It tried, but it didn't take you out. It knocked you to your knees, if you're anything like me, okay? But you got back up. The problem is you got up with less enthusiasm. You got up timid. You got up scared. You got up defensive. And that impacts your money. And so my job is to get you to stand for yourself through your money. But that requires healing. Healing historical wounds mm-hmm. that you inherited that aren't not your own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. So good. Because, I mean, so many women come and they think that they just need to know the business model or how to do the X, Y, and Z. And I love how you were saying that earlier. Oh, yeah, I've got to have my website and my social media. And it's like, but there's this big bypassing of like what's really going on, mm-hmm. which is the thing that's underneath, the mm-hmm. thing that we don't want to look at. And mm-hmm. I like how you were saying that around, what did you say that life, the pain of your life? Is that what you said?
I don't know how I said it. Well, I was saying pimping your pain.
Pimping your
pain. Pimping your pain. Well, the thing is, either you pimp your pain or your pain pimps you. Now, keep in mind, my references are all street. Like, my background is street. I think people get seduced with the doctor. I have a doctorate in philosophy, right? And I think people think that because I have the doctor from Stanford in front of me that I have some kind of value for respectability. Not even close. I curse, I cry, and I pray sometimes at the same time. I'm on my best behavior right now because I'm on someone else's platform. But if you come over to my platform, good God, bless you, because I'm free. I walk on my own authority. And you can walk on your own authority when you write the check. And we don't know that as women until we can write the check. Only 2% of women worldwide ever break the $1 million mark in the business. Mm. Ever. Not just America, but ever. And the irony is that it's super simple to do. It's not hard. And it's almost insulting how easy it can be. I feel sorry for people who like, it took me all these years to figure it out. I'm like, yeah, because you were working on the wrong thing. You were trying to do something. And money is not a doing. It's not even real. You cannot touch money. You can touch the sign and symbol that stands in for it, but it's not real. So you're working for a false god. You actually think that shit is real. And you think it's amazing to me. And I'm like, boo, if we got rid of all of the symbols in America or in the world, what there would be an energetic exchange. Now, if you think about the railroads that were built in North America, there were Irish people and Japanese and Chinese Asian ancestry that built those railroads, okay? Their bodies were the energetic labor force that built those railroads, okay? If you take away that energy, that physical exertion, there are no railroads. That is an energetic exchange, and that energy manifested itself as a railroad. We don't count that. We think that it's the paper or the gold coin. The coin stood in for it. It's not actually the actual exchange. You know, if you think about, I'm trying to think of someone else. If you think about North American chattel slavery, and you think about picking cotton, the body bending over in the July sun, taking this soft, woolly material out of the bud is the energetic exchange that funded the American dream. Or if you take something as simple as the computer that you and I are looking at right now, in the mind of God, and so it manifested through, let's say, I got an Apple. I'm an Apple girl. I'm into Apple. I'm loyal. I love Apple. Apple makes me happy. But Steve Jobs had an idea. He was a sufficient condition for spirit to come, rush this place called him, and create this thing that you and I have. But it was an idea that became manifested in material form. And we give them a credit card to get the phone in our mail. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't understand that, you're going to keep trying to do something to make money versus realizing money is energy. And every kind of energy, every is needs a conduit. If you think about currency, if you think about electricity, it needs a wire, some kind of conduit to come into your home to illuminate your living room. There, and we can't even see the wire. We just know that somehow or another we flip a switch and there's light, all right? Or we can do the same thing with water. There has to be some kind of funnel to your faucet for that water to come out of the faucet so you can brush your teeth. So every kind of energy has some kind of conduit to manifest in material form. For us, that conduit is our heart. And when your heart is congested with anger, resentment, regret, shame, apathy, numbness, spirit can't move through you. Nothing can move because you are literally clogged up like a toilet energetically. So until you take on, in a lot of ways, cleansing or healing your channel, your heart space, you don't have access to the way money moves. It doesn't move through doing. If it did, all the doing you do would show up as money, and it's not. I promise you it's not. So I don't bother with it. I just focus on healing. You know what I'm saying? The more I heal, the more I manifest. The less I do. I do less now than I have in my entire life, but I spend more time focusing on healing. And once I do one level of healing, it takes me to a different tax bracket.
Beautiful. I could say that for anything. I mean, I'm just looking at every single up level, every single thing that has occurred in my life, every miracle, even just the birth of my two daughters has all been a result of my healing.
I love it.
And I was just having a conversation this morning with the client about pregnancy and, you know, and just my miraculous pregnancies. It came directly after a healing. That was it. Both of them.
I love this
conversation. And my book is called Open Your Heart.
Get out. Are you serious? We were destined. Oh my God, that's too much for me. I can't even do this today, God.
That's all it is. It's just opening the heart. That's it. I'm loving this. Yeah. And so for you, What were some of those pieces of the healing? I mean, maybe an example of one, just to make this look even more tangible and concrete for people.
Well, I'll give you two different ones. I'll give you one that I've done and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, the first one was with my mother. My mother's a woman. Okay. And I would say this, if you don't really take on your relationship with your mom and your dad, you're going to have a challenge thriving in business. Because those fundamental relationships will show up in how you run your business or how you don't. And my mother, well, let me say it like this. Life turned my mother into mama. She didn't have an easy life, right? And she took, when I was maybe 12 years old, she took a pair of scissors and she cut all my hair off, down to the scalp. And it was a harsh moment, very harsh moment. And that's when I decided I had to get out. I decided that I was stupid because I didn't move. I was ugly because she said so. And that life was dangerous. And it took me 4 years, but that's when the decision was made. And it took me decades, quite frankly, to realize that she was acting out the violence that had been done on her body. And the violence done on her mother's body. And if you've been beat, you beat. You see what I'm saying? It takes something to heal that. And it's generationally, it's passed down. And so once I could have compassion for her life, not as a parent, but as a person, as somebody's baby girl. And that took me, I'm gonna tell you, that took a minute. Okay, that wasn't like, yeah, it took a minute. But once I actually could put myself in her shoes, locate her innocence, I was able to call her and apologize to her for taking my love away from her. Because I did. I closed my heart off to her. And once I was able to open my heart again, that's when my life started to move. that's when the miracles start coming. And I don't even know how to explain that. I just know it was a direct correlation to me getting peaceful with mama. Everything started to open up in my life. And that includes education. That includes landing the job that I wanted at the time. That included moving from the West Coast to Texas. It, you know, it was a whole different life on the other side of that healing, right? And because of that, when I went back, I was like, God, you want me to deal with black women? Are you kidding me? Because my mother is a black woman and she hurt me. There's no, there was a cruelness to her, right? And I'm like, how are you going to send me back to people who hurt me? Are you crazy? And I was like, there's no way. What the fuck? I mean, it was crazy. I'm like, are you sure, Lord? And, I was, girl, took me a minute. But when I, what I realized was in choosing black women, I was choosing me. I was taking me on because I am you. You see what I'm saying? Like, and that was the best I could do at the time. Like, I couldn't see beyond right there. And so I had to take on love, not just forgiving, but loving my mother. In all of her, in all of her humanness, for me to love myself and for me to love you. That took a minute. It took me 8 years to turn that one, right? And now I'm in a different season where I could actually, I just brought on my very first private client who is of Asian ancestry. And now I want you to know, I have a bunch of people. I have people who follow me, but I don't market. I haven't marketed to anyone but black women for years, and I have a diverse roster. I mean, from trans all the way up to atheist, just by virtue of people being fed by my word. Okay, but I haven't marketed to anybody but black women, right? But energetically, something over here is healing with me in terms of my dad. But with the how that's showing up is there are people who are starting to show up in my space who are an energetic match, who are not black women. They're black men and they're women from other races, right? And so I'm clear that whatever I had to complete and heal with my birth mother is complete because I'm now expanding. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's a natural thing. It's like, okay, so now I'm being with my father. My father made sure my mother didn't abort me. But then he wasn't around.
Yeah.
So I've been in this kind of quandary, like, well, hell, how the hell can you fight for my life but then go away for my lifetime? And I'm just being with, okay, do our men know they're loved? Not for what they do, not for providing, not for protection, but for who they are, with no request, no demand. Like, I wonder if my father knew he was loved and I didn't have any request, I didn't have any demand, I have nothing, there's no judgment, no condemnation, would he have stayed? I don't know, but I'm being with that because if you think about men across the board, men are sent to war to die.
Yeah.
They are trained to sacrifice their lives for ideas, for everything, but not themselves. So that turns them into a commodity. They're disposable. And if they have to be a commodity, that makes me a fucking object. Because that's the nature of, that's how, that it has to be that way. There's no humanity there. There's no empathy. There's no compassion, okay? Because if you're disposable, then the only thing you know is that if you're not useful, you're not valuable. So what if a man can't provide? Yeah, he's gonna leave. What if a man can't protect? He's gonna be too ashamed to stay. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you think about it, it makes sense to my, in terms of historical wounds and in terms of lived experience. So I'm taking, I think in this upcoming year, I'm taking on humanizing the black man, really getting into that you didn't do anything wrong. You were just as wounded as I am.
Yeah.
What if I believe black men have a historical wound around being respected and black women have a historical wound around being heard. And when these two wounds engage, you're no longer there. You're back. It's a wound. And so what I'm doing with my women, again, of all races, because even if you're not dealing with a black man, if you're dealing with any man who has a thing about being respected, listen up. What I have taken on, and I'm going to spend next year on it, is my women healing so much, healing so clearly, that we don't react to their wounds.
Mm.
I know, it's profound. I'm gonna do some shit next year. You watch. And if we don't react to their wounds, that means they have the space to actually tend to it themselves without throwing us under the bus, without turning it into something. They have to contend with themselves, because we're so healed that their slings and arrows don't penetrate. They don't land for us because we're not an open wound waiting to happen. And then we also have our sister circles where, if we need to get heard, we go to the people who are designed to hear us, not the people who are designed to objectify, because they are commodities. So we don't have the expectation that they should get this. They're not supposed to get it because they're a commodity. And until you understand they're a commodity, you're going to keep acting like they're you. And they're not. They look, and like, from my, like, right now in North America, depends on who you read, black women are the most educated group in North America. Okay, and there are different people who say different things, all right? But, and also, not only women of color, but women-owned businesses are the fastest growing segment in entrepreneurship, all right? Well, that means that women across the board, we're more self-reflective, meaning we've been reading books. We've been thinking about some things. We've been working on ourselves, okay? Most men are providing. They're not reading books. I'm not talking about business books. I'm talking about self-reflective books. Books that actually have you go inward and tend to who you are for yourself. Most black men who become self-actualized put
themselves in jail. Because that's the only place where they can be self-reflective. Okay? Well, we, as gendered-wise, we've been afforded an opportunity to be self-reflective. And when you're self-reflective, you have a different set of tools through which to navigate. What if our men could have those? Mm. What if they just needed some time to think it through? What if they needed, and I'm really being with this, what if they needed a retreat? I'm like, a retreat, you know, a retreat, an all man-only retreat around self-actualization and how to manifest with us, not in spite of us. I wonder, and again, I just think about my father, and I wonder if he knew he was loved just for his presence, would he have stayed? I don't know, but it's helping me think through and expanding how I see the world. And maybe that's enough. You know, maybe I'm the best of him. Maybe I'm the best of him manifested. I don't know. But it's a worthy inquiry. It's a worthy undertaking, because maybe the way God works is maybe I will never meet him, but maybe through the black men that I'm blessed to love, I receive his love. I don't know, but I don't have to know. What I do know is I'm taking on healing that historical wound between him and her. So that can be a we.
Wow. You know, one of the things I want to reflect that I've actually been, it's been a theme for me lately, is this, the inquiry. So the wondering, the looking beyond, I wonder what else is possible. I wonder, you know, and that allows us to get beyond what you just said. So I really wanted to emphasize this piece, because I think so many times I see women getting so stuck and they're not wondering. And the other thing I really want to point out too is, if you could come to that place of opening your heart to your mother, despite such a, like, a heavy, deep wound there, right? This can give, it's like, I want women to really get that it's possible.
Okay.
If Dr. Venice.
I love you call me Venice. Most people say Dr. Venus, but I like Dr. Venice. Venus.
It's Venus.
I call Dr. Venus a lot more, but I love the way you said it. It's very nice.
Yeah, I think of you as the goddess.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. So, but really, I mean, I see so many women who are so kind of trapped in the, like, being victims of their mother, and I hate my mother, and I can't ever forgive her, and I can't.
But they're not trapped. They're not trapped. Mm. They're right. They're not trapped. They're right about how they've been wronged, and they're using their mothers to play small. I have walked this.
Thank you.
I have walked this. I'm very clear that every human being has good and bad in them. And we have a different standard for our parents, and we forget they were people before they were parents. And we act as if they should be above their own survival. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, we spend our lives proving how they did us wrong. We will sacrifice our happiness, our money, our love, our children to be right about how they messed us up.
Yeah.
And you can do that, but it won't make any bit of difference because they're going to keep living and you will suffer. So it's not trapped. It's a willful act of defiance. It's like, I'm willing to trash my life to get back at you. And they can do that. But you can, I mean, and I did it. So I understand. But I wasn't happy and I wasn't thriving. So you have to choose. Either you could be right or you could be rich. That's all I got for you, Tanya. That's all I got. You could be right, you could be rich. There's nothing else to talk about. You could be right about how they're wrong, or you could take the case of human beings like you are. And if you think about it, we've all done some bullshit. I know I do on a regular basis. So why should they not? Why would, you know, it's so funny to me how we have these double standards for people that we love. We think that they should be whatever, and that our sins are less important or just impactful. Me taking my love away from my mother was just as impactful as I cut my hair. Just in a different way. Because I took it all away. You know what I'm saying? I went deuces. You know, I was so hot, I left. I was on the streets. That's how much I wanted to prove her wrong, right? So it's not about victim. It's a willful, it's domination of anything. It's just, you did me dirty. It's childish. It's fucking petty is what it is. And you can do that, but you're going to live a petty life. You're going to live a mediocre life. And you can always point at your parent, but I'm going to point to your results and say, okay, you're going to make that person such a god in your life, you're willing to trash your future. Okay, then stay in your mediocre life. Not a problem. We're going to go over here and we're going to be millionaires and we're going to have a great time. And you can watch us on TV and you'll be like, oh my God, they're doing it and I'm sitting here being mad. Okay. And you can do that. And I've seen sisters choose that. To be fair, I have seen sisters choose that. But then there's the ones who, once they realize, oh, dang, I really am doing this, then they go and do what they need to do. Sometimes it's seeing a therapist. I have an awesome childhood trauma specialist therapist because I had a traumatic childhood. It wouldn't make any sense for me to pretend I didn't, but I'm more committed to my future, so I'm willing to invest in myself, whether that's through a program, whether that's through a therapist, whether that's through going to AA. I've been dry since 11/11, you know, March 11, 2011, because I have a very, very colorful background. I don't know how people think I came off the streets. When I tell them that, I don't know, but they believe me, Tanya. I think they see the red bottoms in the lipstick and they think I'm good. No, I am a hot mess, but I'm loved and I'm willing to be well. So I'm willing to do what it takes. So, you know, when people say stuff like their parents, it's a young conversation. Everybody does something. I mean, everybody. And I promise you, if you haven't, you will. And if you're put in a position and you're cornered, you're going to do stuff you didn't know you would ever do. You didn't even know you had the capacity to do some stuff. You don't know what people are dealing with. So I'm at a place in my own spiritual evolution where I think of things as willful. Nothing is not without consent anymore. There, even when I was mad at mama, I knew I was using that as a reason to not play small, to not play big. I was aware. I wasn't without knowledge. But it was a good hustle, and no one would call me on it. And then I can be small. At some point, it's redundant.
Mm.
Or you can stay. So I will say this. If you are committed to being a millionaire, because I only work with people who are interested in that world, then you're going to have to really start to contend with that you are the author of your life. Not the circumstances, not other people's wounds. And I want you to be very, very, very clear. And I say this to everyone within the sound of my voice. They did some fucked up shit. I promise you they did. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying, and I'm not even saying it's your fault, but I am saying it's your problem. If you want your life to matter, if you want it to be bigger than you, you're going to have to be a leader. You're going to have to be a leader, and a leader takes responsibility for it all. Doesn't matter if you're blamed or not. If you're a leader, that means you're accountable, and it doesn't matter what they did. It's the real thing. So you just have to decide if you're going to be a leader or you're going to be a victim, and either one is fine with me. Like I said, you can see us on TV, and we'll be balling out, and you'll be living a mediocre life. It's your choice.
I love it.
It's not making me laugh. So
it's so true, though. And I love the distinction. And really what it comes down to is you're going to be right or you're going to be rich.
That's,
and
which one you
choose. It's a choice. And when we can be willing to do the work, mm-hmm. when we're willing to open our hearts, that is all really, that's the starting point. And that's where.
Invest in yourself. But it's also investing in us. I could never live this life if I didn't pay professionals.
Yes.
This is not willpower. This is not affirmation.
Yeah. Support.
It's like for example, you have that book, your book, Open Your Heart. That's a resource. People should buy the resource. You see what I'm saying? Everyone in your tribe should have that book. If they're mm-hmm. in your tribe, they should have that book. And they should invest in themselves to have that book, because that you're teaching in bite sizes what's in that book. That's an investment in their healing, in their wellness, in their money. If you're not investing in yourself, as far as I'm concerned, you're full of shit. And you can invest from the level of book to mastermind. You see what I'm saying? Or to therapists, or investing. Like, I believe that if you want money, like if you think about tithing, you tithe your time, your talent, and your treasure. Well, if you want more time, you tithe your time. You know what I'm saying? If you want more treasure, you tithe your treasure. If you are committed to really being financially affluent, you have to invest in yourself as a lifestyle, not as an exception. And that's a big deal. A lot of times women, we want to do it ourselves, and I've done this, so I understand. Or we want to put the pieces together on our own, or figure it out, or we want to be cheap, and we don't want to invest. I'm like, it's ridiculous. If you can pay for your handbag, if you can pay for your child, if you can pay for your child's education, you can pay for your business.
Yeah, it's true. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I've spoken. So there you go.
Thank you so much.
This is great. Thank you for being a beautiful human being, a beautiful spirit, Tanya. I feel very appreciative that you would listen to my word and let my word feed your tribe. It is a gift you give me, and I do not take it lightly. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you for extending the invitation, for allowing me to be myself, for really receiving my word and letting it be useful to the people that you love. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you for who you are for us. Thank you for helping us open our hearts.
And thank you for doing your work. It's extraordinary. If women want to get in touch with you, and they feel inspired, how do they?
Well, I believe in dating before I get married. Okay. And I have a free gift. It's great. Called Debt Money is what I do. And it's a 3-hour audio training, and an 18-page workbook. It's a $3,500 value. I'm going to give you the link. I don't want to say it wrong, but I'll make sure you can put it up there so they can have access to that training. But and I do that because you have to decide if I'm your teacher or not, because I'm pretty intense about your money. I'm probably more committed to your money than you are. So I don't deal with people who aren't ready to implement and who aren't ready to invest in themselves. But I have a lot of resources that can, if you look at my blog post, if you follow me, you'll be fed. But when it's time to, you have to be at a place where you're willing to do the real work. And the real work is not the money, it's the healing. Okay. So I'll give you the link for the Get Money training. And I don't want to say it wrong. I sent them to the wrong place.
Yep. So that will be in the show notes, everyone. So you can get some more money in the show notes. Thank you so much again. If I gave you the megaphone and you were to shout from the rooftops to all the women listening, what's the last thing you would leave them with today?
You're worth so much more than you have ever been taught to believe.
That's about the truth. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ashe. My sister, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
Thank you, sisters, for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the next Sistership Circle podcast.